Our Torah portion this week is a very interesting segment of the Torah in which the patriarch of the nation of Israel, Jacob, leaves after being charged to leave by his father Isaac, goes to Haran, which I think is Iran today, similar word, spends 20-something years there, marries two women, two more are given to him as wives, has 12 children, 13, counting Dinah, and returns to a situation that he left that was uncomfortable with his brother Esau. It's a long piece of the story, and there's so much in it. But one thing that I found particularly interesting was this little thread about Rachel. I want to start with one other little piece first, because there's three pieces. And one is in chapter 20, Genesis 28, where Jacob is on his way, he's on his way to his relatives in Haran. And in 28:12, and he dreamed and saw a ladder set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heavens, and saw messengers of Elohim going up and coming down on it. And see, Yahweh stood above it and said, I am Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, your father, and the Elohim of Yitzhak. The land on which you are lying, I give it to you and your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall break forth to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And all the clans of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your seed. And this was the promise to Abraham, which was transferred also to Isaac, his father. And see, I am with you, verse 15, and shall guard you wherever you go, and shall bring you back to this land. For I am not going to leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. I'm going to keep going. And Jacob woke from his sleep and said, truly Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it. It's interesting. I think he thinks that Yahweh, remember there are many, many gods back then. He thinks that Yahweh is here. This is where Yahweh is. The other ones are at other places, and this is where he is, because he's all about this place. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Elohim, and this is the gate of the heavens. Sci-fi buffs might recognize there to a stargate. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a standing column and poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, the house of God. However, the name of that city had been Luz previously, which means almond tree or almond branch. And Jacob made a vow saying, and this is interesting. Most of our translations that I've always read say, if you will be with me, if you bring me back to this land. This word-for-word translation changes the tense a little bit to seeing Elohim is with me, or since Elohim is with me, and has kept me in this way that I'm going, and has given me bread to eat and a garment to put on, when I have returned to my father's house in peace and Yahweh has been my Elohim, then this stone, which I have set as a standing column, shall be Elohim's house. And of all that you give me, I shall certainly give a tenth to you. The previous time we hear this tenth being given is with Abraham, when he just won a war against five kings, an impossible war. And when he was met by Melchizedek, different depending on the translation, but it's Melech Zadek is the actual roots of the word there, which is king of righteousness, who was the priest of Yahweh at the time, as far as anyone knew. Abraham gave a tenth of all the spoils to Melchizedek at that time. And It was acknowledging that the victory and everything that he had received was from Yahweh. Now, it's interesting that we've heard a lot about the tithe and should we tithe. Well, among a lot of New Covenant preachers out there, that's the only thing they love about the Old Testament, is tithing. They don't really want much to do with anything else of the law, but they like that part. And yet, if you really, really study it out, and I've discussed this with some of the wiser gentlemen here in the congregation, there's a lot of ins and outs about the tithe that are not necessarily, it's just a command, you give a tenth of everything. The tithe, if you search just on that word in any concordance, will give you everything from, well, it's agriculture, well, it's just in the land, well, it's always to Levites, well, it's. There's a lot of loopholes. If you don't want to tithe, I can help you with some loopholes to get out of that. But what we see here is that when some of these guys really came to know, see, hear Yahweh, the Creator, and they trusted Him as their Elohim, doesn't say they tithed, and it doesn't say they tithed off of the just the produce, or the mint, or the cumin, or anything else. It says that they gave a tenth of all. I'm not even sure if this giving the tenth of all is always the same thing as where tithe is used. Again, tithe was to Levites. Tithe was to the house, the temple, and so on. It was later. But this giving a tenth goes all the way back to Abraham. And apparently, you know, Rabbi Dennis made an excellent case last week for the fact that the law of the Torah was given before we knew about it in Sinai, that Abraham was blessed because he obeyed the commandments, the laws, the statutes of Yahweh, and therefore he was blessed. So this whole thing about giving a tenth seems to be from way back there too, because Abraham knew about it. It was the first thing he did. And then you have Yaakov. Now, it's interesting. Yaakov grew up under Isaac. We assume that all these people in the Bible are all just biblical people. Well, let me tell you, Rachel wasn't. Rachel grew up under her father, Laban. That's the second part I want to get to. Let's jump to there. This is in 31. A bit warm up here, sorry. Too much on. Let's look at in 31. We're going to skip around a little bit, starting with verse 19. And when Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole the house idols that were her father's. Wow. And you all know Rachel is Jacob's younger wife that he really loved more than his other wife and so on. And Jacob is now leaving after 21 years with everything. Down in verse 24. But in a dream by night, Elohim came to Laban, the Aramean, and said to him, guard yourself that you do not speak to Jacob, either good or evil. Laban was chasing Jacob. Then Laban overtook Jacob in 25. Jumping to 30, he says, why did you steal my mighty ones, my gods? 32, with whomever, this is Jacob now, with whomever you find your mighty ones, do not let them live. Ooh, he didn't know. In the presence of our brothers, see for yourself what is with me and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Next few verses, Laban goes through all their tents. Rachel says, please don't make me get up off the camel. I'm in the way of women. He lets it go, but she had him in the saddlebag. And then Jacob goes crazy on Laban, saying, look, you've searched everything. You've been taking advantage of me in every way. What have I done wrong? You haven't found anything against me. And then I find this very interesting in verse 42. Jacob says to Laban, still yelling at him, Elohim has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and has rendered judgment last night. Well, that's interesting because what was last night, really? He left Laban's 3 or 4 days ago, 7, because Laban had chased him for 7 days after he found out about Jacob leaving after 3 days. So Jacob leaves. 3 days later, Laban hears about it. Laban chases him, overtakes him in 7 days, and Jacob says, Elohim has rendered judgment last night. So what is the last night? Look back, try to figure that out. Remember verse 24? In a dream, Elohim came to Laban, the Aramean, and said to him, guard yourself that you do not speak to Jacob either good or evil. Do not judge him. Do not say that you are good or right. Do not say that you are wrong or wicked or evil in any way. Do not judge him. And that was the judgment that I believe Jacob was referring to here. Because Laban told him the dream. He said, listen, I can do all kinds of evil to you here, Jacob, for taking my daughters and my kids and all these sheep are mine. He had it all wrong. He had changed his wages on him 10 times. Even though, I think this is so brilliant from a business point of view, and I'm always looking for business. It's so interesting that when Laban talked Jacob into staying for the last time, and he said, what will your wages be? What can I give you? Because I've been blessed because of you and Yahweh blessing me because of you here and all that. What can I give you? And Jacob said, give me naught. Nothing. However, let me go through the flocks and pick out the speckled, the spotted, the sheep you don't really want that aren't that pure white wool that you can use and sell. Let me just have the offshoots, and that'll be my wages, and I'll take care of your flocks again. Laban goes, done. Great deal. What was brilliant here was that instead of agreeing to another wage that he could change or whatever, he agreed to a residual income, which is the key to business. Residual, ongoing, and as much as Yahweh would bless it, it was totally, as Jacob said, you'll know whether I stole it or not, whether if it's a regular white sheep or it's one of these other mottled, speckled, black things. These are mine. That was the deal. Nobody can deny it. It was a brilliant business move because what he did there is he made it so he couldn't really change it. Laban still changed it. Laban said, well, no. The deal was the speckled. It says here shortly after, so Yahweh blessed and multiplied the speckled. Laban, no. Our deal is the spotted. And Elohim blessed and multiplied the spotted. So even though Laban was constantly against Jacob, Jacob was continually blessed. I want to jump over now to 35. This is the third part. 35:1-3. And Elohim said to Yaakov, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make a slaughter place or altar there to El, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. By the way, that was a real crisis time for Jacob. He was very afraid. He was alone. Somewhere else it refers to the fact that he had nothing but his staff. We see him sleeping on a rock. He didn't leave with tents and packs and camels and stuff. So this was a scary time. And Yahweh is bringing that back to remember when you were in that really scary time? Remember when I came through then? This is me now saying, arise, go up with Bethel. And Jacob said to his household and to all who are with him, put away the foreign mighty ones that are among you and cleanse yourselves and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and let me make there an altar to El, who answered me in the day of my distress. He'll never forget that. And has been with me in the way which I have gone. What's fascinating to me about this is that Jacob didn't necessarily know Yahweh when he left Isaac, his father, and his father's God, it's referred to here and there. But at that dream on the rock, he saw the heavens opened. He saw things we probably can't understand. He reheard the reiteration of the promise of Abraham and Isaac from Yahweh himself. He didn't die. It mentioned somewhere else as a significant thing. And Yahweh made some very interesting pieces of the promise here about being his God. The pieces of the promise of being his God, everyone down here, are he is with me. If he is our God and we accept Yahweh as our God, it doesn't just mean, well, I believe in him, yeah, so good, I'm good. It means he's with me. That's incredible, because that means he's not with people who don't have him as their God. Has kept me in the way. Whew, praise Yahweh for that. Has kept us in the way. Because you know what? I don't know about you all, but I'd be the first one to head down the street to the wrong thing if there wasn't some supernatural force keeping me in the way. And keeping me in the way, guarding my way, also providing. Yahweh provides for those of us who are his. Peace in Genesis 28:12, given me bread, sort of just mentioned that, and a garment. Now, this is very interesting. It doesn't just mean I've got something to put on. It means a garment, that with which we are covered, that with which we're atoned for. The word atonement, wherever you see it, is a covering. And so Yahweh has given us not only provision, and he's always with us, but he's given us a way of being covered or atoned for or somehow clean in his sight, and somehow dressed to be in his presence. Those are several pieces. And he'll return me to my father's land. I forgot the word in my notes. Return to my father's. You know, it's you'll return to the land. The point there is that we, although we're in the world now and in the clay, in the flesh, we will return to our Father. We will go to another because we're his people. And when Jacob grasped that you're my God, you've shown me, you've said these things, then what he said are basically, you know, we've always read it, if you'll do this and if you'll do this, then you'll be my God. I don't get that at all. What I get is that everything that he just said here, if these were things that Yahweh just said to him in the promise. And see, I am with you, 28:15, and shall guard you wherever you go, and shall bring you back to this land. These are the things that Yahweh said. And Jacob said, okay, since that, I'm going to vow a tenth of everything to you. You're my God. That's it. A little bit of life goes by later. Apparently, he must have discovered that Rachel stole the gods from Laban. Now, why did she do that? A, she grew up with those gods. Laban's gods, Laban's household gods, that's where she grew up. She didn't really know much about Yahweh. They knew of Yahweh. They spoke of him as one of the poly gods, but she wasn't really there. She didn't get this thing that Abraham got, that Jacob got. But Jacob seemed to have allowed that. They seemed to be okay with it for quite a few years, having left and everything, until they get to chapter 35, where Yahweh says, Bethel. And it's at that point that Jacob says, put away all the foreign gods that are in your household. And he says this to his household, to his people. That means those foreign gods were still in and around, and they were still into them, and rubbing bellies of things, and holding rabbit's feet for good luck. Whatever they were into it. And this is sort of a renewal that Jacob brings the whole household into, saying, you know, he's been my God. He's the one who heard me in distress. He's the one that's with me. He's the one that provides. He's brought us back to the land. We're going to Bethel. And now put away all other gods and cleanse yourself and put on new garments. And he led his family, he led his clan and all those people to a renewed relationship with Yahweh through this process of putting away other gods. Yahweh is one. Cleansing, clothing. And there wasn't a Torah yet from Sinai. There wasn't a Levitical priesthood yet saying, doing these things. And yet, Jacob was completely led to do these things and led them to. And I think it's a call to all of us to A, acknowledge that if he is our God, a tenth to him is, listen, everything we get is his. Everything. And I'm not talking about tithe, because I can give you loopholes to get out of that. But I can't get out of the fact that these guys who were seriously affected by Yahweh gave a tenth of everything by vow for life. Done deal. And then that wasn't even it. You see Jacob come later and renew this relationship and move there and dwell there. Baruch Atah, Yahweh.